Narayana Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Chapter entitled Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva, text number 57. Shanadena Pitulaye,
Shanadena Pitulaye,
Aswargana Punarbhavam. Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya,
Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya,
Vajanam Kim Utashisha,
Vajanam Kim Utashisha,
Shanadena Pitulaye,
Shanadena Pitulaye,
Naswargam Napunarbhavam,
Naswargam Napunarbhavam,
Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya,
Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya,
Jnanam kim utashisha, Shanadena pitulaye, Naswargam napunabhavam, Bhagavat sangi sangasya, Majjanam kim utashisha, Shanadena pitulaye,
Shanadena pitulaye,
Naswargam napunabhavam,
Naswargam napunabhavam,
Bhagavat sangi sangasya,
Bhagavat sangi sangasya,
Majjanam kim utashisha,
Majjanam kim utashisha,
Shanadena,
Shanadena,
by half a moment,
by half a moment,
Api,
Api,
even,
even,
Tulaye,
Tulaye,
compare,
compare,
na,
na,
never,
never,
Swagam,
Swagam,
heavenly planets,
heavenly planets,
na,
na,
either,
either,
Upana Bhavam,
Upana Bhavam,
merging into the Supreme,
merging into the Supreme,
Bhagavat,
Bhagavat,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Sanghi.
Sanghi.
Associate.
Associate.
Sangasya.
Sangasya.
One who takes advantage of associating.
One who takes advantage of associating.
Marchanam.
Marchanam.
Of the conditioned soul.
Of the conditioned soul.
Kim Uta.
Kim Uta.
What is there?
What is there?
Ashisha,
Ashisha,
blessings.
Yeah.
You guys are going to have to quieten down. Hey guys, all the children, you can look at me now. Are you looking at me or not? I'm speaking over here. Are you looking at me? Okay. If you can be quiet, you're welcome to stay. But if you want to play, then you need to go outside, okay? Because this is Bhagavatam class. So if you are here in Bhagavatam class, you have to listen to Bhagavatam. If you want to play, you can go outside, that's okay. Okay? Good. Translation of Prabhupada, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. If one by chance, association with a devotee, even for a fraction of a moment, he no longer is subject to attraction by the results of karma or jnana, what interest then can he have in the benedictions of the demigods, who are subject to the laws of birth and death? Translation responsibly. If one by chance associates with a devotee, even for a fraction of a moment, he no longer is subject to attraction by the results of karma or jnana, what interest then can he have?
What interest then?
benedictions of the demigods.
In the benedictions of the demigods.
Who are subject to the laws of birth and death.
Who are subject to the laws of birth and death.
Out of the three kinds of men, the Kamis, Gyanis, and Bhaktas, the Bhakti is described herein as the most exalted. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati has sung Kaivalyam, Narakayate, Tridasha Pak, Tridasha Pur, Akasha, Pushpayate, Chaitanya, Chandramrita. The word Kaivalyam means to merge into the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the word Tridasha Pur refers to the heavenly planets where the demigods live. Thus, for a devotee, Kaivalya, Sukha, or merging into the existence of the Lord, is hellish because the bhakta considers it suicidal to lose his individuality and merge into the effulgence of Brahman. A bhakta always wants to retain his individuality in order to render service to the Lord. Indeed, he considers promotion to the upper planetary systems to be no better than a will-o'-the-wisp. Temporary material happiness holds no value for a devotee. The devotee is such an exalted position. The devotee is in such an exalted position that he is not interested in the actions of karma or jnana. The resultant actions of karma and jnana are so insignificant to a devotee situated on the transcendental platform that he is not in the least interested in them. Bhakti yoga is sufficient to give the bhaktas all happiness, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.6. Yayatma supersediti. One can be fully satisfied simply by devotional service, and that is the result of association with a devotee. Without being blessed by a pure devotee, no one can be fully satisfied. Nor can anyone understand the transcendental position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Amigyanti manandashyak inanjana shalakaya chakshinramanitamyena tasmai shigurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stabitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadam Ayam Dadati Swa Abhidantikam Vancha Kalpata Rugyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhi Evacha Vatitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Ajaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So there are three subject matters in the Vedas. What are the three subject matters in the Vedic literatures? Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayoja. But they're not the three that I'm thinking of. What are the three?
Karma,
Jnana, and Bhakti. The Bhagavad Gita itself is said to be divided into these three sections. The first six chapters are said to be Karma Yoga. The last six chapters are said to be Jnana Yoga. And the middle six chapters are said to be Bhakti Yoga. So these are the three subject matters of the Vedas. Karma, Jnana, and Bhakti. So what does karma mean?
Action.
Very good. Activity. Yeah, activity. Krishna says, third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you cannot stop doing anything, even for one moment. Just like you look at the kids. They can't stop doing anything even for one moment. And you look at the adults. They can't stop doing anything even for one moment. Not possible. It's impossible. This whole concept that meditation means just do nothing. Make the mind completely blank. Right? It doesn't even exist. When was the last time your mind was completely blank?
when I was asleep.
Yeah, and then even then, we'll say you're doing something because you're breathing and your heart is beating. And there's activity. Activity does not stop. Right? Even when the mind is fully asleep or whatever, but activity does not stop. There's no such thing as stopping activity. Activity is always there in this material world. You cannot stop for a moment. So that is the nature. Krishna says you have to do something. So karma means activity. So then Bhagavad Gita speaks of three types of activity. Karma, vikarma, and akarma. Which one do you prefer?
Akarma.
Akarma. Good answer. Yeah. Because vikarma means bad activity. Ugra karma. What is ugra karma? What is the ugra karma? What does ugra mean?
Aggressive,
yeah. It means horrible, ferocious. Just like Lord Nisringadev, when he comes out of the pillar to kill Hiranyakashipu, he is called Ugra Nisringa. Because he is so ferocious. He would do anything, just there's an Ugra. Means horrible. So then, Ugra Karma means the worst activities. And that's what's going on all over the earth right now. There is Ugra Karma everywhere in the whole earth. Just like the Amazon jungle, you've heard. Yeah. Sorry for you guys. You guys are okay, but you see what happens to your kids when they grow up. Yeah, there might be big problems on this planet. Even in your lifetime, you might see much bigger problems than what we're presently. What is present is all ugra karma. They're doing so many terrible things now that it will just become more and more and more and more. Ugra means horrible things. Also, in the Vedas it says five groups must always be protected. Who are the five groups who must always be protected?
Children.
Children. Women. Elderly people. Brahmanas, holy people. And cows. Okay, and what do you look on the earth right now? Ugra karma. Children are being abused. Women are being abused. Old people are being abused. Holy people are being abused. Cows are being abused. Ugra karma. Right? The worst activities around the earth. So then the earth is becoming full of karma. Vikarma. This means vikarma. Vikarma means bad karma. You do things which are not good. And then what happens? Then there is so much activity. Mm-hmm. There is so much problems. Why? Because people cannot control their minds. And then there's so many problems on the earth. This is vikarma. So Bhagavad Gita says, don't do vikarma. Don't do vikarma. Just like all the devotees, you come here to the temple, right? And you take prasadam all the time, right? And you use those paper plates upstairs all the time, right? That's ugra karma. You don't even think. All of you don't even think. You come here every day and you don't even think. You're doing ugra karma. Now, I use the metal plate. Right? And you wash it and devotees say, oh, it's so difficult to wash. Oh, I have to wash my plate. So that's nonsense. That's ugra karma. You're cutting down trees. Have a look at the Amazon jungle. Why is that on fire? Right? Because they've been cutting down too many trees, right? And then it becomes too dry, and then the fire takes them. And every time you eat one of those paper plates, you're just cutting down a tree. And how many of those paper plates do you use every year?
Three. Two at the bottom, one at the top.
Yeah. Oh, it's hilarious, isn't it? Yeah. You use three every time you eat. How many do you use a year? Just you, just one devotee. How many do you use a year? Count them. What, 3,000 or something? 2,000? Yeah. So does it pile them all up? That's one tree. Ugra karma. But you don't care. You'll just keep doing it. Even you hear this lecture, you'll keep coming and you'll keep doing the same thing. I've said this hundreds of times. Devotees keep doing it. It's like no one listens. Right? Pagal Baba Ashram. People don't listen. But this is ugra karma, vikarma. Right? We have responsibility on this earth. Think I'm a devotee, I have no responsibility, I have more responsibility. Because you should be protecting Mother Bhumi, One of the seven mothers is Bhumi Devi. You should be protecting Bhumi Devi. But devotees, sometimes they're worse than the non-devotees. Right? Waste so many things. Oh, it's all Krishna's energy. You don't understand the philosophy. So this is ukra-karma, vikarma. Right? And then there is karma. Karma means regulated activities. Means in the Vedas, it is mentioned. Right? In the Vedas, it is mentioned. Regulation. The point is, you have to regulate activity. When activity is irregulated, right, karma is irregulated, then there are problems. And you see in the world, why does the world have so many problems? Because there's no regulation of activity. Right? What is the most popular activity in the world? Right? The most popular activity in the world is sex. Right? But in this day and age, there's no regulation of sex. You can't just do it. It's like, you can't just go and jump in a car and just drive anywhere you want, anyhow you want. You know, go down one side of the road or the other side of the road, or go 200 miles an hour. You can't just do whatever you want. Right? There's regulation. Right? If you don't follow properly, then we have to tell you. So same with sex life. Any karma, any activity in the world, there's regulation. You can't just do whatever you want. Because that will lead to vikarma, problems on the earth, and problems in your life. All your problems are coming from negative karma. If not in this life, in the previous life. One lady wrote to me yesterday on Facebook. She said, oh, these bad things happened to me. Why has that happened to me? And I said, it's because of your previous life, you do bad karma. She said, oh, that is very hard to accept. Okay, maybe it's hard to accept, but that is the reality. You do so many negative things, and negative things will come on you. That is the situation. So, we have to understand what is vikarma, what is negative karma, and what is karma. Karma means regulate your activity. But then the third category we're taught in the Bhagavad Gita is called akarma. Akarma means, literally it means no karma. Right? No karma. So you're doing activity, but there's no activity. Or you're doing activity, but karma generally means when you do an activity, there's a reaction. So you do the activity, there is no reaction. That is akarma. Literally, that's what it means. So. So then this is hard for people to understand. How can you do something, but then there's no reaction for what you just did? Right? Akarma means devotional service, bhakti yoga. When you do bhakti yoga, what is the reaction you get?
Krishna.
That's like the final goal. That's a very exalted goal. Right? You're doing bhakti yoga now, but you don't have a love for Krishna. Right? So that takes time to develop. But that's the goal. That's very good. You're constructing the goal. But what is the result? Right? Is it happiness? Yeah, happiness. Yeah. Kleshagni means suffering is destroyed. That is there. What is the result when you do bhakti yoga?
All
the auspicious things. Yeah, that's Shubhada. Yeah, Shubhada means you develop good qualities.
Your desires.
What is it?
You purify your desires.
Yeah, you purify your desires. Yeah, that's good.
Contentment.
Contentment, yeah. The reaction of bhakti yoga is actually Krishna's smile. Right? Prabhupada said this is the barometer of bhakti. Right? You have a barometer. Barometer means a temperature gauge. So you go outside today. What's the temperature outside? What is it right now? Bed. 10 degrees or something. Yeah, so nice. It's about 10 degrees. So you go outside, you have a barometer. The barometer says, oh, it's this much, it's this much, it's this much. So Prabhupada says, what is the barometer of bhakti? The barometer of bhakti is when the deity is smiling at you. If the deity is happy, that means your bhakti is going in the right direction. That is the reaction. That is akarma. It means no reaction. No material reaction. There's still a reaction. The reaction comes from Krishna. Right? You can see, are the deities happy with you? You did service. Are they satisfied? Are they smiling? Are you happy? If you're not happy in your devotional service, right? That means there's something wrong with the application of devotional service. It means you're doing something wrong. Because you should be feeling blissful all the time. Hands up if you feel blissful all the time. Good. Two of the kids said that. That's good. Very good. Hands up if you feel blissful most of the time. Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good. That's what we want. You should be feeling blissful most of the time. Actually, all the time. By definition. And bhakti is, you're always blissful. Okay, the material world is full of challenges. That is there. The Bhagavatam teaches us this. The Bhagavatam teaches the material world is full of challenges. Who was the first person here? In the material world. Who was the first one to arrive?
Lord Brahma.
Lord Brahma. And when he got here, who else was here?
Lord Vishnu.
Yeah, Vishnu. He was on the lotus flower. Lord Vishnu was there in the universe. Right? Gavadakshaya Vishnu was there, and then he was there. That was it. Basically, he was by himself, because he didn't even know Vishnu was down there. And then he was having problems. He just got here. He was the first one here. He moved in before we all moved in. And he was having problems. It says in the Bhagavatam, there was a celestial wind blowing. Imagine you're sitting like on you go on one of those towers in the city, like Eureka Tower, you're up the top, and then the whole thing starts going, right? And it's very disturbing. Right? You're like, 70, 80 floors up in the air, and you look down, and the whole thing's going like that. You would, how to say it nicely, you would be very disturbed. Right. So Lord Brahma is on the top of this lotus flower and the whole thing is looming like this. Right? He was disturbed. And Prabhupada makes the point, soon as you come to the material world, there will be disturbances. That's guaranteed. Like when you go into a new country, they stamp your visa and they give it to you. Right? So it was stamped when you got here. Dukalayam. Ashashvatam. Here's your visa. Go and enjoy yourself. Welcome to Bali. Even in Bali, Bali has two islands. There's Bali and there's Lombok. Lombok's like the second island, the smaller island at the side. So one devotee, she was there last year, the year before, and there was an earthquake. Walking down the street, and then everything's like this, and then all the glass in the shops began to smash onto the ground, and everyone ran to the beach. So you're supposed to be in somewhere where it's like all happy and beautiful and perfect, and suddenly the whole world starts moving like that. Certified. Dukalayama Shashwatam. Enjoy yourself. That's reality of the material world. So don't get here and think it's going to be all perfect. Even in devotional service, materially there will be challenges. Was Prabhupada's life easy? You read the Lilamrita, Prabhupada, it wasn't easy. Especially you read Hari Sariputra's diary. Every day there were challenges for Prabhupada. Every day. It wasn't like it was just like one easy ride. No. Right? Look at the Pandavas. Mahabharata. No easy ride. They didn't have any karma because they're pure devotees. There's no karma. But their whole life was just like, assassination attempts. Hands up if anyone ever tried to assassinate you. Right? Devotees go, I've got so many problems. I didn't get enough avocado. Someone tried to assassinate you? It's kids putting their hands. Kids put their hands up for everything. Hands up if anyone tried to assassinate you. They're like, your parents tried to assassinate you. So, The Pandavas, we devotees always complain. I've got this problem, I've got that. You haven't got problems. Is someone trying to assassinate you? Not just someone, your family. They try to assassinate you, multiple times. Right? They try to disrobe your wife in public. Imagine someone brings in one of someone's wife right here, right now. Starts pulling all their clothes off in front of all the devotees. Right? Imagine how you would feel. So many things happened to them. A rigged gambling match where they knew they were cheating, but still, So many things took place. That is the nature of the material world. So that is the nature. So akarma means you will serve Krishna, Right? But the reaction comes directly from Krishna. So then people say, well, now I'm a devotee, why do bad things still keep happening to me? Because you're in the material world. That's why. It's nothing to do with Krishna. Krishna will take you out of it soon. That's okay. Sachinandan Swami, my Shiksha Guru, he said to us one time, you are 1 meter away from Krishna. Right? How far is 1 meter? Arm's length. Yeah, you're that far away from Krishna. That's how close we actually are right now. We're this far away from Krishna. How long is it going to take to close that gap? No, that's up to you. That can take lifetimes if you want. You know, you can just bahu jamakadiyadi shava. You can just keep coming back. Yeah, if you want, just keep going. No problem, keep coming back. Keep being a devotee in ISKCON and everything. But there'll be problems. Or you can finish it all once and for all and go back to Krishna. No, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Go back home, back to Godhead. What is our magazine called in the Hare Krishna movement? Back to Godhead. Why? Because that's where you're supposed to go. Back to Godhead. But if you want to get there, you have to be serious. You know, you don't get there unless you're focused. You have to pay the price. Are you willing to pay the price? Just like last night I was at one devotee's house, taking prasad. And I said, they made some dessert with the milk. I said, oh, is this the ahimsa milk? You know, the one that the devotees make, the happy cow dairy. Hands up who use happy cow dairy milk. Very nice. Very good. So happy cow dairy milk. Right? All devotees should use that milk. So I said, devotee, oh, is this happy cow dairy milk? He said, no, it's too expensive. He said, it's too expensive. I said, no, that's not very good. That's not very good. You should be willing to pay the price. Right? If you're not willing to pay the price for happy cow dairy milk, how will you pay the price to go back to Krishna? Of course it's expensive. You know all the milk in the supermarket? You know, does anyone shop at Coles? Hands up if you shop at Coles. Okay, very good. Hare Krishna. I offer great respect to you, Coles shoppers. So, if you shop at Coles, you know the milk costs $1 a litre. You know what that milk is? It's milk powder mixed with the water. It's not milk. It's milk powder. Because you can't produce milk for $1 a litre. It's not possible. Economically, no amount that they produce like that. They just turn it into milk powder. I heard actually they send it to China. China turns it into milk powder. And then they send it back to us and we mix it with water. That's how mixed up the world is. Yeah. Be happy here in this world. This world is meant for happiness. Right? The place is insane. So, they send it all there, you come back and drink. So you're drinking milk powder. So the nutrition is reduced. Yeah. If you eat all these foods, you know, cheap milk, cheap white pasta, you know, and cheap tomato paste and all, you eat these cheap foods, you won't get the nutrition in your body. You know, we have to eat the whole foods, natural foods, you know, organic vegetables, all these things. Then you'll get much more nutrition in your body. You'll be much healthier. So, you have to pay the price. If you want to get the good product, you know, the happy cow dairy milk, right? Then you have to pay the price. Of course it's going to cost more. You know, because it costs money to do it like that, to do it properly. Right? That's why it costs more. Right? But the quality, it's much more. Right? They call them happy cows. The most happy cows are actually at our farm. They're the most happy cows. But to do it like that, you can't produce a lot of milk. You know, we've only got 20 animals. At the moment, no one is milking. You know, milk will come. The cottage sheep just had a baby, so there's some milk there. But you know, we're building up, but we're not going to have enough milk for like hundreds of devotees. If everyone wants natural milk, then go and buy some land and milk your cows, and then you have your milk. That's the system. Everyone wants to live in the city, sit on a computer all day, right, and just order happy cow milk. You know, it doesn't work like that. You can't live one lifestyle and expect the other lifestyle. It doesn't work like that. And that's what the whole world, that's why there's a problem. Everyone wants our organic food and natural and, oh, give us ahimsa milk. But then you don't want to live like that. You want to live in offices and buildings and artificially, and then you want this other lifestyle. It doesn't work. People will work it out one day. Hare Krishna. So, There are different types of karma, but if you want to get to Krishna, you have to pay the price. Now, that last one, me too, to get to Krishna, you have to pay the price for that. Right? That's a big price, but you can get there. So that's what we get for our karma. That is called akarma. And then the last six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, right? Because we're speaking, for those who came in late, we're speaking about karma, jnana, and bhakti. So the last six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita discuss jnana yoga, which is one of the three subject matters of the Vedas. So when you read the last six chapters, what is the main subject matter? Now, what is chapter 13 called? Nature, and joy, and consciousness. That's jnana. That's sankhya, and analysis or analytical study. Right? What is chapter 14 called? The three modes of material nature. 15. The yoga of the supreme. Right? What do they say in Sanskrit? Purushottama yoga. Yeah, the yoga of the supreme. Right? 16. Divine and demoniac natures. 17. Divisions of faith. Very good. Right. 18. The perfection of renunciation. It's jnana all the way through. Now, if you study the last six chapters carefully, what will you see? What will you see? What's the main subject matter? Because we always say the last six chapters are jnana yoga. But what is the main subject matter of that? Of those six chapters, what is Krishna speaking? Because it's interesting. You've got God Himself. So it's very interesting for me as a soul, a jiva. It's very interesting when God speaks. Because, you know, when someone who is very intelligent speaks, you know, we listen. We say, oh, what's he going to say? Very interesting. Just like I was at Radhanath Swami's birthday in Mumbai about 20 years ago, I think it was. It wasn't his Vyasa Puja, but it was his birthday. I happened to be there and they had a program. So we went, about 400 devotees were there. So we're there. And then they had kirtan, long kirtan. And then Maharaj was ready to speak. And everyone was like, what's he going to say? Because someone very profound speaks. Everyone listens. So when Krishna Himself speaks, right, we're all, what's he going to say? Because obviously it's very important. So in those last six chapters, which are jnana yoga, what does Krishna talk about? It's significant. What is the essence of jnana?
I think so. He's saying how one can go back to Godhead.
That's the whole Bhagavad Gita. That's general. But I'm saying, what's the top peak? Material nature. But yeah, analyze it a little further. That's good. What's the main thing he speaks about? The gunas. The gunas, the three modes of material nature. That's the main topic of the last six chapters, if you look at it. Interesting. God Himself, speaking on jnana, knowledge, what does He choose to elaborate upon the most? The three modes of gunas. Which shows us that understanding the three modes of material nature will be the most beneficial thing for us to get out of the material world. You have to understand how they work upon you. No, because they're fighting for supremacy. Krishna says that. Right? Three. That's guna. Guna means rope. Three strands like intertwined all day long. Goodness, passion, ignorance, goodness, passion, ignorance, goodness, passion. You know, 1 minute you're in passion, 1 minute you're in ignorance, 1 minute you're in goodness. You want to become predominantly, all day long, predominantly in goodness. No? Because that is considered to be the most conducive for the practice of bhakti yoga. Right? Bhakti yoga is the most efficient, right? Just like you go to the petrol station, right? Hands up if you go to Coles Express, Shell. Okay, the two kids go. Doesn't matter where you go. So you go to the, but then they have like three levels of petrol, right? 91 and then 95 and then under, I don't understand what I mean. High octane like this, like. Three grades. So, and then they say to you, they sell it to you, or if you use this one, your car will be more efficient. It's like an upsell. Like your car will run better and so many less problems, and your life will be perfect.
Right, your car will speak to you sweet words, and it will never blow up, and the engine will go for eternity, and like this. Right. So use this petrol. It's an upside. So then, three levels. So then, it says you'll get more efficiency if you use the higher grade fuel. Right. So you practice bhakti yoga. All of you are practicing bhakti yoga. You're bhaktas, you're devotees. So you're serving Krishna every day. But you have to understand, you want to get efficiency. You're putting in the same amount of energy every day. But you need efficiency so you get further and you get the result. You get to the goal. So Krishna makes it easy for you. He says, do devotional service, but do it in the mode of goodness. Because if you do it in passion or ignorance, you will have problems. It won't be efficient. Right? You try and do devotional service in the mode of ignorance, it'll take forever to get to Krishna. If you do it in the mode of passion, you'll have a lot of problems along the way. If you do it in the mode of goodness, you will get there. It will be difficult, but you will get there much quicker, and it will be steady and effective. So that's why Krishna speaks about the gunas. So this is jnana, knowledge. So the Vedas, the Bhagavad Gita speaks about karma, jnana, and then the final subject matter is
bhakti.
So bhakti is the best. Bhakti is more important. Because from bhakti, jnana is born. Means devotional knowledge, spiritual knowledge is born. Just when you do devotional service, you get realizations. Which devotees have the most realizations in ISKCON, in the Hare Krishna movement? The devotees who are most absorbed in service. Right. The more you absorb yourself in service, the more realization you get. Right. You can't not do service and be like just realized. No. Right. The proof that you are an advanced devotee, you realize that you're always absorbed in service. You don't just, you know, have jnana or knowledge. Oh, he knows so many things. No, what's the result of the knowledge? Now I'll serve Krishna. Right? I'll give the knowledge to others. I'll help them. I'll encourage them to become devotees. That's the proof. Just like Devamrita Swami is coming this week.
Next week.
So you look at Devamrita Swami, right? Highly learned, but then always using that knowledge to bring others to Krishna. Right? That's his whole focus. I was at a program with Maharaj 20 years ago. Yeah, over 20 years ago. And one person, the Maharaj was talking about your next life. You know, hands up if you believe we'll have another life. Yeah, hopefully with Krishna. Hopefully there's the last one in this world. But you know, but we believe, you all believe in reincarnation, right? We believe in reincarnation. Yeah, just check. Okay. So you all believe in reincarnation, right? So then one person said to Maharaj, "What will you be doing in your next life?" Because Maharaj was talking about the next life, the next life. And they said, "What will you be doing in your next life?" Maro said, "The same thing. I'll be sitting here and I'll be giving classes. Yeah. What I'm doing right now, dressed as a sannyasi, I'll be doing again in the next life, dressed as a sannyasi. If he's in the material world, he'll just be doing the same thing. If he's in the spiritual world, okay, maybe he will not dress like a sannyasi. He'll dress like an associate of Krishna. But in the material world, that's all we do. Right? So bhakti, bhakti is the essence of life. Karma and jnana are not the essence of life. The essence of life is bhakti. That's why Krishna keeps it in the middle. We all know that. And then, which chapter is said to be the most important out of the 18 chapters?
Number 9.
Very good. Number 9 is said. And what is number 9 called? The most confidential knowledge. So chapter 9 and then 4 verses from chapter 10 are considered to be the most important. Which are the 4 verses?
8, 9, 10, 11.
What are they called?
Chaturshloki.
Why are they called Chaturshloki? Just the flower. Why are they called Chaturshloki?
Because there are 4.
Because there are. Because there are 4. How many verses are there in the Chaturshloki? 4. That is why it is called Chaturshloki. Okay. So Chaturshloki means?
4
verses. Okay, Chaturshloki. Okay, so these are the most. If you take those 4 verses, right, they are the essence of the Gita. And chapter 9 is the essence of the Gita. And then if you look at the whole Gita, right, Then Krishna says the rahasya, or the acharyas say, the rahasya. The rahasya means the secret. Hands up if you like secrets. All the kids go. We all like secrets. Right? I like secrets. I like to be secretive. I'm a very secretive person. Right? I'm always like that. Very secretive. Like that. So Krishna is like that. Krishna is the most secretive. Right? That's why it says in Vrindavan, everything is curved. Krishna is? Tribhanga Lalita. Means Krishna is like that. It doesn't stand straight in Vrindavan. It's like that. Why? Because everything in Vrindavan is crooked. Everything is. Nothing is straight in Vrindavan. You'll never get like, no one will ever do like that. It'll always be like this. No. You have to learn. That's what it's like in the spiritual world.
Glances at Krishna.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, Krishna, it says sidelong glance. He doesn't look straight, he always looks like that. Right? He looks sideways, he just goes to his friends. Like that. So it's always, everything is crooked. Right? So rahasya. Rahasya means secret. Right? We all like secrets. Do you want to know what the rahasya of the whole Bhagavad Gita is? Hands up if you want to know. Okay. Then come back tomorrow and I will tell you. Or, if you bring me sweets, I will also tell you. But I'm not going to give it directly to you. Now you're talking. Cool, now you're talking.
Cake.
Cake, yeah, okay. Cake is good. Yeah, all these things. The rahasya of the Bhagavad Gita. Mammana bhava mam bhakto majaji mam namaskuru. Krishna says that twice. Chapter 9. Right? Almost exactly the same again in 1865. Right? Almost exactly the same. That's the rahasya. Four things. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Offer your obeisances to me. And worship me. Those four things. That is the rahasya. That is the essence of the whole Bhagavad Gita. That is bhakti. Right? Then those four things get expanded into nine things by Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto. And then Rupa Goswami takes those nine things and expands them to 64 in the 6th chapter of the Nectar of Devotion. Right? So all these things. This is an expand. This is the rahasya of the path of bhakti, of bhakti yoga. Right. So the Bhagavad Gita is speaking like this, rahasya. This is the secret. So bhakti is the essence, it is the secret. Right. So these are the three subject matters of the Bhagavad Gita. Karma, jnana, bhakti. Bhakti is by far the most important. And if you dedicate your life exclusively to bhakti, you will get the highest result. Param gati. Param gati means, actually you'll go back to Krishna. That is the essence. We'll stop here. We'll ask if there's any questions or comments. What we discussed.
So we can see Vanashram society is divided according to the three modes of material nature. So then usually you can see that one person who is in a particular Varna, usually we don't see them changing. Right? Like if you start the history, like with Bhagavatam, what we don't hear. Okay. So then, how much can we really influence the effect on the three modes of material nature?
It means that your vana is pretty much there when you were born. It means there's four types of work in this world, right? You're either Brahminical, or you're more like Kshatriya, or you're more like Vaishya, or you're more like Shudra. So you have that nature. That's just your modes which you're born with. That doesn't really change. But while you're doing your work during the day, right, do you do it in the mode of goodness, or the mode of passion, or the mode of ignorance? Your personality is a particular way. The work you like to do is a particular way. Right? The way you act and behave is a particular way. You're born with a certain thing. But then how do you act during the day while you're doing that work? That can change. That's under your control. Does that make sense? It means, okay. So a sudra is said to be primarily in the mode of ignorance. Right? But if you go, say if you go to the Mahabharata, Pandu conquered the world, the father of the Pandavas. Right? He became the emperor, went out and conquered. Because there was Vichitravirya and the other member of the dynasty, they were not there for a period of time. So there was problems. So he had to go out and conquer. And then he came back. And when he came back into Hastinapur, into the capital, all the leaders of the Varnas came out to meet him. So say the one of the leaders of the Shudravana, say well, the goldsmiths. So they work with gold all day. You know. So the Shudra. But what they produce is beautiful. It's amazing. So it's not, you know, even though they would say, oh, that's a Shudra activity or like that. But the fact that they are able to do that, what they do, the work and everything, it's quite extraordinary. So the mode of goodness is very much infused in what they do and passionate. So they have a tendency towards ignorance. But by the association of a pious king and pious association in society, if society is lifted up, then they can act in the mode of goodness. Even though, you know, they do that work their whole life. They won't start going and doing yajnas, you know, swaha, they won't do like that. They won't study Vedas, but they'll always do that work. But the way they conduct themselves while doing the work, that's in, that can be controlled, or that can be varied, right? What you are and what you do, that's your nature. You'll always do that. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's kind of like that. Like, you know, in Kali Yuga, we don't really have varnas. Like, we don't say, oh, there's the Brahmana, there's the Kshatriya, there's the Vaishya. But if you look at what we do, it's kind of like that. We're more or less in that. But then, you know, your varna can be looking a bit two different things. My nature is more like Kshatriya. You know, I'm more like, you know, control, you know, organize, lead, you know, do this. I'm always telling him, like, do this. Hey, do that. That's my nature. But if you look at what I do half the time, it's like Brahminical work. But Arjuna, it is said that Arjuna was as learned as the sages. So he would study a lot. Right? So it's like Brahminical work, but actually he's Kshatriya. Right? So, you know, it looks like there's crossovers, but you have to know more or less what your nature is. More or less, you have to know it. But in Kali Yuga, it's not like, you know, we don't say that's Kshatriya, that's Vaishya. We don't say it like that. But you have to know more or less what your nature is. But while you're doing your work, situate yourself in the mode of goodness. That and serve Krishna. Does that make sense? Okay, so it's more or less like that. Because devotees always say, oh, we need Varna Ashram, we need to make Varna. It's difficult in Kali Yuga to do it. And Bhanu Swami made a very good point a number of years ago. He said, if you don't have a ruler like Arjuna or Yudhishthira, you can't have Varnashram Dharma in Kali Yuga. You need someone who can completely level society, control society, and then put it. We can't do that. Because we don't have those kind of leaders who can, you know, Arjuna could control the earth. That's how powerful he was. People would tremble just hearing his name. Oh, Arjuna's coming, everyone's stepping away. You know, if Arjuna walks in and says, you know, what are you doing? If you're doing something right, everyone just stops. Or else you face him and then you're gone. So then everything is controlled. But in Kali Yuga, you don't have that kind of ruler. Then you can't control the society. So to have, that's what Bhana Swami pointed out, you can't have Varnashram like it was then, now. Because you don't have the Kshatriya to control the whole thing. That's why in the beginning of the fourth chapter, what does Krishna say to Arjuna? It was passed down through the Kshatriyas. Right? It's a Brahminical science, but it's passed down through the Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas control society. Brahmanas just, you know, they don't get involved in society. They'll give advice, but they won't get involved. But the Kshatriya's job is to be involved. He has to do everything. Maintain order. Makes sense? Yeah, good.
You said that we should not do vikarma.
What's that?
As you said that we should not do vikarma.
Yeah. Please don't do it.
And then sometimes something are easy to say that to think that that this is wrong or correct, but and some things are very difficult to understand if this is correct or wrong. Then yeah, how can we?
How can we know if something is karma or vikarma or akarma? Yeah. So then you need a guru. Because your guru will tell you this is good or this is bad. So who is your guru?
My parents.
Your parents, yeah. Your parents are your gurus. Right? So they will tell you. They will say, oh, this is bad or this is good or like that. They will tell you. And then other devotees, senior devotees, they will tell you. Like Dwija Prabhu, he will tell you. He is also your guru. So he will tell. He will say, hey, you have to do it like this. This is not good. So you have so many gurus. You are very fortunate. So, good question. Any other question?
So, in purport it says like we have to retain our individuality. Then how can we having individuality and at the same time thinking of Krishna and always always instruction, how can this possible, like if we don't get absorbed into Krishna and
I don't understand what you're asking.
Give me an
example. What are you asking?
What do you say in the snippet? We have to always think of Krishna, follow his instruction.
Yeah.
And
so what's the question?
The question is, if we retain our individuality, then how is possible we can absorb into always thinking about Krishna?
I don't understand the point. Every jiva is an individual. We're all individuals. Like, I don't understand the point.
What he's asking is that if you are doing a lot of work at office or home or whatever, how can you absorb at the same time in Krishna? Is that clear? How can we absorb all the time in Krishna when we're doing so many work in material activities?
Is that what you're asking? We're all doing like different works. How can we think of Krishna while we're doing that work? Is that what you're asking?
Yes. So, what we have to think always Krishna.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the same time, we are doing other things. Like we are retaining ourselves, our ego. Like we are this individual self. We are retaining.
I don't understand the question. I don't understand what you're talking about. We are individuals. Like every one of us is an individual, right? And the individual is meant to serve Krishna. It's as simple as that. That's just what we do. How does this stop you from serving Krishna if you are an individual? That's what the individual, the soul, is created for.
I guess you mean having regenerate individual desires and then also serve Krishna.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I mean, we create our distance from Krishna.
The point is irrelevant. That's a different question. How to deal with the mind or how to deal with the... That's a different question, if that's what you're asking. If you're talking about how does the individual serve God, you just serve God. Like, what do? You get a flower. Someone give me a flower, you offer it to Krishna, that's it. You serve Krishna. My individuality, my free will, right? My decision-making faculty given to me by Krishna, I can use that in Krishna's service. That's using your individuality. That's as simple as that. If the question is, the mind is giving us obstacles or the ego is giving us obstacles, is that what you're asking? Or? Mm-hmm. And then deal with your mind and deal with your ego. Stop doing it. Stop listening to your mind. You know, you're about to offer a flower to Krishna and your mind says, don't offer it to Krishna, put it in your own hand. Then say to your mind, go and speak to yourself. I'm going to offer this to Krishna. No. What are you asking?
I see one thing from.
No, just wait. What are you asking? Is that what you're asking?
It's not that sort of asking. No.
The point, make the question simple and plain. I can't understand. It's not simple, it's not plain. What is it you're asking? What's the question?
My question is If we create ourselves, like we are far away from Krishna.
You're far away from Krishna because you're choosing to be. There is no far away from Krishna. Krishna's right there. You want to do some service? After class finishes, go and do some service. What's far away from Krishna? We're not far away from Krishna. You're in Krishna's temple right now. You can serve Krishna. If you are far away from Krishna, that's your choice. Do something about it. That's all. I don't understand the question. There is no far away from Krishna. There's no, oh, this and that. There's not. You choose to be like that. If you choose to be far away from Krishna, you are far away from Krishna. If class finishes now, you get in your car and you drive 100 miles away and you go and, you know, forget about Krishna. That's your choice. Or you can choose to serve Krishna. That's your choice. That's all. Okay, during the day, everyone's in a different job. The jobs are not conducive to remembering Krishna because of the nature of the work. Then that's another challenge. Speak to other devotees in the same position. Ask how they do it. Right? I know some devotees who are sitting in this class right now, they have a job, right? And they spend at least a couple of hours of time during that job reading and chanting. Because, you know, they've got a job where the boss isn't around or whatever, so they're reading and chanting. Trick the boss. Think about Krishna. You know. Or, if you're in a job where you can't do that, at the end of the day, why do you work all day? To get phal. What's phal? Fruit. What's fruit? Money. What do you do with the money? Give some to Krishna. Then you think, give Krishna. So the question is, how much money do I give to Krishna? Right? So if you make $1,000 a week, if you give $10 to Krishna, does that hurt you? No. If you give $100, does that hurt you? Maybe. Okay. If you give $200, does that hurt you? Huh? If you give $200 a week, if you make $1,000, does that hurt? If you give $300, does that hurt? I'm asking. $400, does that hurt? You should know. You make money. Right? So when it starts hurting, then you know you've hit the right amount to be giving to Krishna. Because then you'll think of him. Because then you'll be working all day and you're thinking, why is he taking all my money? So you'll be thinking of it. So that's Krishna consciousness.
That's where it comes, like me. I feel like it's my individual money, but if I think that, no, that's not my money, it's Krishna's money, then it's not like me. I'm not creating distance or all for Krishna.
You're not creating what?
I'm not creating any other ego than Krishna. If I think that that money is for Krishna.
Yeah, because you are offering it to Krishna. You are offering it. Krishna gives you your quota. He says that in the Ishapanishad. And you're using that quota to give it back to Krishna. Just like there was one devotee, disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He used to make his money. And at the end of the week, he would give it all to his guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then his wife would come and say, he just gave you everything. We've got nothing. Mm-hmm. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would give some of it back. Like that. So you're giving it to Krishna. That's your individuality. That's your choice. How much you want to give to Krishna, that's up to you. So you're an individual. Enjoy yourself. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Right? And give some money to Krishna also. Is that okay? Are you happy? Okay. Chant and be happy. Don't make things complicated. Just serve Krishna. What's the problem? Be happy.
We talked about the paper plates in Kugra Karma. Since management is providing the paper plates, does management get most of the Kugra
Karma? Yeah, providing it, but you choose whether to use it or not. That's the point. If someone's a guest coming like once in a while, yeah, then we offer the paper plate. That, for them, that's what it's for. If a devotee's coming every day and they're using the paper plate, that's nonsense. Right, that's neglect of the earth, one of the seven mothers. Right? That's not good. So, any other points? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.